Today is the disappearance day of Thakur Bhaktivinoda and Gadadhar Pandit. And as such, it's a very important day, remembering these great personalities who grace and decorate our sampradaya, Gadadhar Pandit being the embodiment of Srimati Radharani, and Thakur Bhaktivinoda, the Shakti of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In that regard, when we think of Gaura Shakti, Gaura means Lord Chaitanya, Gaura means Lord Krishna in golden form, and his Shakti is Srimati Radharani. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is also the manifestation of the Anugraha, the mercy of Srimati Radharani. Why? Because he's the founding father of the Krishna consciousness movement, at least in the modern age of the Krishna consciousness movement, the visionary pioneer who wanted to spread Krishna consciousness in all the languages in the world, in all the cities of the world. And the mercy of Srimati Radharani is manifest through him in his efforts to propagate Krishna consciousness, particularly in Bengal through the establishment of Namhata, and his writing so many books which form the theological basis of Krishna consciousness, and in his inspiring Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to continue and take further that mission that he began with certain items like establishing Navadvipa Mandal Parikrama. And more than that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was charged with the responsibility of making Varnashram a reality. So when we think of Gaura Shakti, empowerment of Srimati Radharani, it's also to put into effect the social structure that realizes the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Acharyas. We're not a philosopher's movement, we're not just a religious movement, we're a cultural movement, as Srila Prabhupada pointed out. And culture means that you have a social structure which gives the basis for conditioned souls to gradually rise from ignorance, passion, to goodness, and hence to the transcendental path from through a process of engaging senses with sense objects in the world in a very controlled way, under the guidance of pure devotees for the sake of ultimate liberation. In the absence of that, it becomes very difficult or more or less impossible for us to be really Krishna conscious, to chant 16 rounds and follow the regulative principles, which is the basis for our going back home, back to Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada also took up this mission, or it was part of his mission, of establishing Varnashram. And it's something that our society, at least in principle, embraces, although in practicality not so much so. Even though there may be different opinions of what Varnashram is, still it's the duty not only of our farming communities to teach Varnashram, but all of our centers to reflect the principles of Varnashram wherever they may be, and not only to reflect it but to teach it, so that our congregation, our temple devotees, our children, they're all trained with the idea that our social system and the values by which we live, which reflect our social system, comes from Varnashram. Otherwise, what happens is that we naturally adopt all kinds of values from the outside world. Our society has suffered so much, for instance, because we've neglected our children, we've neglected to give protection to our ladies, we've neglected to give protection to sannyasis, although often it's not seen as the case. But principle of varnashram means what? Srila Prabhupada points out in the Bhagavatam, to give protection to children, women, brahmanas, aged, the sick. That's a duty of everyone. And if our society was functioning with this vision in mind, rather than neglecting some of these publics or classes of devotees, we would have a much better record. So, of course, devotees may argue, well, how can I practice varnashram in London, Paris, Tokyo? But first we have to start with the fact that we do need a social structure, and that we accept a common social structure. And then it's a matter of how to take the principles of that varnashram and apply them according to where we are. Prabhupada begins in Srimad Bhagavatam by explaining that the varnashram system that was practiced in a previous age is not possible to enact in the present age. We have no king to give us that type of protection. Entire society is not structured according to the principles of varnashram. Therefore, we're practicing varnashram in isolation within our own limited circumstances. And what are those circumstances? Well, for instance, here in New Brajadam, you have a certain degree of freedom, being isolated from those things which are anti-varnashram. Budapest, we're living within a other social structure, and it's not possible to physically, geographically be isolated. Therefore, in terms of our consciousness, in terms of our practices, we have to try to isolate as much as possible, while at the same time be seen to be integrating. And that's a very difficult thing to do, but still we should do it. An example we may want to consider is housing. Housing is a practical necessity. Wherever you are in the world, you have to have housing. But in some places, but housing is always made from local materials. In some places, only wood is available. Then houses are made of wood. In some places, only earth is available, so you make brick houses or rammed dirt houses. In some places, only stone is available, and then people make houses out of stone. So the given material may vary, but the principle is the same. So similarly, we need to maintain the general principle of varnashram. Varna and ashram. People must be able to work and maintain themselves. They should maintain themselves by religious means, not by any type of irreligious means, generally in a simple lifestyle that's conducive to both their nature, or in harmony with their nature, if they can clearly figure out what that nature is. But of course, better that it be pointed out to them in such a way that it doesn't compromise their aspirations for Krishna consciousness, and also in a proper ashram. We've had so much disturbance also in ISKCON of people not being willing to accept the fact that they have to be particularly in the Grihastha ashram, either trying to artificially stay in the Brahmachari ashram, more artificially even to jump into the Sannyas ashram. Grihasthas who want to live not as Grihasthas with a family, but as Varnaprasthas, for not the suitable reasons, although in exceptional circumstances that may work. So values we have to accept, our conditioning we have to recognize, and we have to incorporate this into some type of format that's comprehensible to our devotees as well as to our followers. And it's something that we need to preach. It's something we need to preach as much as we preach you're not this body, or that you have to chant Hare Krishna. Because even though it's important for people to understand these philosophical principles and spiritual practices, if we don't give them a safe environment in which to do these things, or at least a safe and secure environment as possible, then those spiritual principles will just be ideas that they have great difficulty in putting into reality, and thus Krishna consciousness becomes impractical, and so people give it up. Anyway, today, although you know, on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance day, we may be singing many bhajans and reflecting upon his life and mission, I was just thinking about this Varnashram as being such an integral part of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mission, his desire, and so fundamentally necessary in our Krishna consciousness movement, in the absence of which sort of social development or social structure, we have so many problems. Devotees place great emphasis on social issues such as education, protection of women, our own children, our gurus properly situated, sannyasis. But you can't talk about these things in isolation. They have to be dealt in a overall framework. How do they work together to make a society like education? We want to have a suitable education for our children, but if we're not clear how our children are going to live, if we haven't clarified how it is that they're going to maintain themselves, what their varna is, and how they're going to have a good Krishna-conscious grihastha life, what their ashram is, then good Krishna-conscious education in isolation from a whole social framework doesn't of itself guarantee the Krishna-conscious future of our children. It's a part of the greater whole, and the greater whole has to be that type of social structure. Krishna says, I have set up this social system, and therefore followers of Thakur Bhaktivinoda, in their own way, whether it be just in their own home, do their best to establish the social framework that's been given to us, described in detail in Srimad Bhagavatam, practiced through millennia prior to this time, and something that Srila Prabhupada gave great emphasis to in particularly the latter half of his time, thus in Krishna consciousness. Hari Bol.